Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, let's do it. We get petty every Tuesday at 8 a.m. You ready to get petty, my friend?
Oh, I'm going to guess. I need this.
Yeah.
I need to cleanse my soul.
Like oxygen. Yeah. Yes, let's do this.
This is like put these leeches on me and drain the evil from
me.
Yes.
Yep. Good pettiness from around the internet and around the sports world. We're getting to it now. Jay Williams of ESPN, formerly known as Jason Williams back in the day, former Duke point guard, played for the Bulls briefly until he had a motorcycle accident. He's had a pretty good week. Remember last week in Take-A-Mania, he put Mad Dog in his place? I think that's the reigning champ right now, is Mad Dog.
Yeah, he just shut down Mad Dog on a bad take, which was made even worse because of the follow. Yeah, Jay Williams. Because Mad Dog said
that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not a superstar because he hasn't won a title, 10 seconds after he said Luka Doncic is a superstar.
Right. Jay Williams very quickly said Doncic hasn't won a championship.
Yeah. So that was Jay Williams last week. This week, this is a great retort. Stephen A. Smith had a classic Stephen A. Smith take where he said that if Giannis only ends up winning one title as an NBA player, then that means he underachieved. Mm-hmm. Jay Williams did not like that one tiny little bit.
That was one of your worst takes I've heard in a long time, man. That was horrible. I had to, you know, like I'm the little brother that has this filled with the venom sometimes when you and I go at each other, and it's all love because it's always love. But I think we really need to do a better job of reframing some of these conversations, right? And if you were to say that the franchise, the Milwaukee Bucks, have underachieved, or the biggest underachievers with the talent of Giannis, fair. But a guy who has a 50-point closeout game, a guy who's never chased any of these dream team scenarios, a guy who is a finals MVP, a guy who's a multi-time all-star, all NBA, all everything, global face of the game, the fact that he brought an NBA championship to Milwaukee, in the midst of the fire that he did, to call him an underachiever, I just think is an asinine comment.
He went on for another 2 minutes after this.
Well, how long has Jay Williams been doing television?
A good long while now.
Like the debate shows and everything.
That's a good question. I
guess the debate show element of it is the part I'm curious about.
Yeah. I'm not totally sure.
That's the one with J.J. Redick. You know, like there's a certain point where, and we saw this with Dan Orlovsky last year. Because Dan Orlovsky at one point was on with Stephen A. Smith or whomever else, and he said something to the effect of, it's not my job to say that Aaron Rodgers is a trash player.
Yeah.
And immediately, all of the professional talking heads, the guys that are, Nick Wright went on his podcast or on somebody's show and said, he misquoted him and said, Dan Orlovsky said it's not his job to criticize Aaron Rodgers. No. Dan Orlovsky said that it's not his job to say Aaron Rodgers is a trash player.
Right.
And that's where the guys who are the former athletes and the analysts have a different job description than the guys who are the Stephen A. Smiths and the Nick Wrights. Because those guys, like Stephen A. Smith, he's in the creative insult business.
Yeah.
And that's what works. And that's what makes him $20+ million per year. He's constantly looking for a way to creatively and entertainingly insult people.
Yeah.
Whereas guys like Jay Williams are more skewed towards like, hey, yeah, I'll criticize guys, but I'm not in the business of the creative insult.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, when Jay Williams say, we got to reframe this somehow because, wait a second, you're it sounds like you're trying to insult Giannis Antetokounmpo for not ring chasing and all these other things
where there's
a lot more nuance to it.
I didn't even think about that part.
It's two worlds colliding like that.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, Jay went on to name, like, so you're saying this guy is trash and this guy is an underachiever and this guy. He listed all the guys that won one title. And so that guy underachieved. Like, no. All right, next one. The Rafael Devers trade that came down Sunday night has been a big topic the last couple of days. Devers traded to the San Francisco Giants. trade's gotten a lot of criticism. It's gotten comparisons to the Luka Doncic trade. We'll see. But if we're going to go to a bitter Bostonian to get a Pettycast take on the Rafael Devers trade, who better to go to than Barstool founder Dave Portnoy?
Now, like, you're playing good baseball now. You don't want to at least see what can happen this year if you keep putting the pedal to the metal. The pitching's starting to come around. And fine, let him be a dickhead, but be our dickhead DH for this season. This is a money deal, not a winning baseball deal. The Red Sox don't make winning baseball deals very often anymore. And this just, we all know he's a dickhead. You know who is a dickhead? Manny Ramirez is a dickhead. We won a bunch of World Series with him. Let him be a dickhead for the rest of the season at DH. No. Trade him for a bucket of baseballs in the middle of the only positive streak we've had. We sweep the Yankees. We're this high. You can kick us in the nuts, and now it's down in the dumps.
Okay, which is so fun. It's just, of all the cities, you know, it's just, sorry, you're going to go a dry spell without a title for a couple, 2-3 years in Boston. It is odd timing on that trade. They did just sweep the Yankees in the middle of June.
You know? Yeah, and that's the one, It's either I always get confused. It's Jose Cora who's the GM there. Yeah, the Alex Cora and Jose Cora screw me up. I think that there's like this is it's a movie you'd almost make if you desperately felt like, okay, this is going to be the thing that can somehow turn the season around.
Oh yeah,
and like because I'm on the hot seat and maybe I lose my job if not. But if I don't know. That move actually would feel more like, all right, I don't like the way Devers is operating, but I'm going to suck it up and we're going to figure out a way to make it work right now because I'm going to lose my job.
Most teams do with good players who are divas. They suck it up.
Yeah, I criticize his the mode of desperation that he's in.
Yeah.
That it feels like a very desperate move, but maybe better for the long term.
Yeah.
But no, he should be at the other end of the desperation spectrum.
Portnoy, man, that was a lot of D-heads that he just said right there. That's at least. He dropped 10 of them in about 30 seconds. All right, this is a good one here. Pettycast. We continue with the petties from the week. Keep tags. We're getting some good ones on the text page. We'll read them. Austin Rivers, former Rocket, also briefly played for Tom Thibodeau. And he was on his podcast talking about the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau. He goes off on the Knicks while pointing out the fact that he hates Tom Thibodeau.
They don't do business the right way sometimes, okay? That's what I'm f***ing saying. I've been holding on to this story for a long time, and I got more, but I'm going to hold back, okay? Because I'm not the type of guy that, like, wants to unturn every stone. So when you fire Tibbs, first off, I don't have any remorse to keep it 100 with you, but still, let's keep it professional. You fire Tibbs, and then you have no motherfucking plan to hire who else. Now you're scrapping around asking other teams, can we interview your coach? You're just walking over there and being like, hey, can we talk to him? Is insane. They have no plan. They fired a top-tier coach, as much as I hate saying it. They fired Tibbs and are just walking around like with their hands in their pockets, just like, hey, you happy over there? You want to come over? What the hell are you doing? This is insane.
Honestly, if you look at the Knicks, okay, hadn't been to the championship game since to the conference championship this century.
Yeah.
They have a coach, despite whatever faults he might have, who got them there.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is, boy, okay, we need somebody else to put us up over the top, and we're a different organization now. People like us. And immediately as soon as you get rid of Thibodeau, everybody sees, like, oh no, you're the same old Knicks.
Yeah.
Oh God, of course not. I don't want to go to that organization. Like, there's not being able to, this is why they can't have nice things. They literally can't have nice things.
Yep.
They had a nice coach who did some really good things for the organization,
mm-hmm.
and they got to, like, better than they'd been in decades. But you can't have nice things.
No.
Idiots.
Yeah, idiots.
And then you just turn around and you're just floundering.
And credit Austin Rivers, who managed to be petty towards Tom Thibodeau. And he told some anecdotes leading up to that bit of audio. It's just too long. About his treatment with the Knicks when he went there from Thibodeau, which were not super, I mean, you know, nothing. Just typical NBA stuff where he thought he was going to a place where they wanted him. But they really wanted Derrick Rose. They brought in Derrick Rose like a month after Austin Rivers got there and said, hey, we're gonna send you, don't worry, we're gonna trade you, we're gonna send you somewhere that you're going to get playing time and they're going to want you there. And they shipped him off to OKC in one of those deals where Austin Rivers never even puts on an OKC uniform. You know, they just they immediately cut him. So Austin Rivers has a lot of pent-up emotion there.
So the show Mad Men, I know you didn't watch Mad Men, but it just reminds me so much of, there's this one episode where the president of the company, who's like the son of one of the original founders, they do this series of flashbacks where you realize that, okay, this ad agency has gotten really, really good, and it's only because they have Don Draper. He's the John Hamm character.
Yep, yep.
It's really because he stumbled into and lucked into hiring Don Draper, but is constantly like trying to pull alpha moves. And the owner, the president, who inherited the company, is like trying to pull these power macho moves and everything. He's writing the autobiography, all this stuff. And he's just a clown. He's a lovable clown in that show, but unlike the James Dolan.
James Dolan,
But no, man, you fired Don Draper, you idiots.
Yep.
You suck without him.
Yep, totally. All right, this guy has not been in our lives in a long, long time that I can recall. LeVar Ball is back doing LeVar Ball things. There's a video that dropped LeVar Ball sitting at what looks to be a workout gym that the Balls own. He's kind of sitting in this upper tier balcony while looking down while his sons and some others are working out on the basketball floor. And we've not heard LeVar Ball's delusion in quite some time. He's back. He is imploring that the Clippers sign not just LaMelo, an actual good player, not just Lonzo, formerly a good player who's now just injured all the time, but also LiAngelo, who's now a rapper, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he plays basketball anymore. But if the Clippers bring the Ball Boys back to L.A., titles will reign.
All I'm finna give it to y'all one more time. If you want a championship, listen to me. I'm making it very easy. Everybody trying to go out and make these trades. Hey, Melo should be over here. Melo should be over here. I don't care where you put Melo. But what I do tell you, if you put him with his brother, he will go to his original spots, which is the two, which y'all trying to make him a two anyway. He love to score. But the only person he'll move over from the one spot is his brother Lonzo. Get Lonzo and Melo and Jello. Can't nobody beat my three boys playing fast. Guess what? Indiana Pacers are in the goddamn finals doing what? Playing that speed game. What I done taught my boys from day one. Can't nobody beat my boys together. So the Clippers, bring them goddamn Ball Boys home and let's go get this championship and quit messing around.
he's got to be joking, right?
Like, I haven't heard him in a while, and it's kind of sad now. And as always, I feel bad for Lonzo the most. I felt like Lonzo was the one that, man, like, you got to think he was just hoping his dad would just shut up at one point. This is like almost if you hadn't heard from Don King in 5 years, and the next time you see him, it's because he owns a scrap metal shop or something, and he's doing a local infomercial for his scrap metal.
Yeah.
And like, all right, I appreciate the showmanship, but man, this isn't the same as back when like these things were all actually relevant and you might think about
it. It's like seeing Ric Flair at one of those kind of depressing autograph shows where there's a line of like eight people for his table.
Yeah.
But he's there cutting a promo about how he's the 16-time world champion and like you're 72 and there's nobody here at this thing. What's going on? LiAngelo or Jello as he calls him isn't even playing basketball anymore. He's making music. Like,
that's because they won't let him in the league because nobody can stop him.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Would have tilted the balance in the league.
That's probably the part where, I don't know if it's shtick or something, but like to act like LiAngelo's part of the equation.
Well, and Lonzo's a scrub these days. Lonzo literally missed two entire seasons with injuries. You know, and he played 35 games this season. Like, what are we doing? All right, last one. Keon Coleman. He's petty at himself. Keon Coleman, wide receiver for the Bills, when asked, what does he see? He was asked this at minicamp. What do you see when you watch your tape from 2024?
You want to know exactly what I see? Man, that trash. You got to be better. Simple as that. Like, you got to be more efficient here. You got to get out of this break. You got to stack your DB. You got to give Josh more room to throw the ball. You got to catch that. You got to make that block. You got to get that extra effort on the touchdown block. So if Jimbo break it, he up the sideline, just different things like that. Calling out everything that you're doing wrong to make it right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
man.
Old school pettiness towards yourself.
What do I see? That bleep trash. That's what I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the old. That's what I miss about the old days back before everybody had mental enhancement coaches and everything. Some of the greats of the game just hated themselves constantly. Mm-hmm. They just were convinced that they weren't actually all that good. They let their demons fuel them. Whatever messed up childhood they had, yes. Yes.
Self-loathing.
That's exact. Self-loathing as a means of, but you know, this is the key. You got to take action and address the self-loathing.
Yes.
But it will always drive you.
Yep. Keon Coleman, man. Text message. My petty is people who answer the phone only to say, I can't talk right now and immediately hang up. Do you do that? My tactic when I can't talk to somebody, which is almost all the time, is I hit the little thing that says message and I just send them a quick text like, hey, on the phone or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. I don't pick it up and say, can't talk right now and then hang up on them. I could see where you'd be a little annoyed by that.
If somebody answers the phone, I don't know. These days, the way things have changed, I would honestly just appreciate the fact that they even picked up the phone.
You hear a human voice on the other end. Yeah.
Yeah, if somebody's saying, because what the reality is, like, hey, man, listen. You don't, you're calling the person.
Yeah.
They're picking up, but they're telling you, hey, man, I can't talk right now. I don't know. I feel like you're a little too focused on yourself if you think, well,
that's a good,
he's not going to be able to take my call and stop whatever he's doing. He's performing. Oh, he stopped doing heart surgery so he could tell me that he can't talk right now, but I've got pressing issues.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I can't remember the combination of my locker.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, you should reframe that in your mind, man.
Yep.
The fact that the guy picked up the phone at all is way, that's above and beyond
what most people
would do.
It's a compliment almost. Yeah, in this day and age, it's a compliment. Someone agreeing with you on the text page. I had the same thought about LaVar Ball, Seth. It's just sad now. I kind of thought the same thing. I'm like, dude, your shtick, we don't need you back in our lives. It's good. Like, go into you have at least two kids that have made and are making a lot of money, probably taking care of you on Father's Day and whatnot. Like, just go enjoy that, man. Go kick up.
He's probably still got a really good income from just various social media and streaming shows and everything.
Maybe, yeah.
He's probably got some hit Facebook streaming show that I don't even know about, but they've, got 2 million viewers or what have you.
That's true.
So he's got to put content out, Like, you got to check in.
He still had the Big Baller Brand logo on the t-shirt he was wearing. So the brand still exists, I'm guessing, in some way, shape, or form.
How long did those shoes make?
I don't know. I was going to say, remember he made his own shoes?
He made his own shoes, and I get they really weren't good shoes, right?
They were bad.
They were bad shoes.
Yeah.
But they got a good initial run of them. They sold a bunch of them, and then people said, these are bad shoes.
These are bad shoes, yeah.
But it's kind of like having your own crypto. It's like people, that initial rush, as long as you don't sell them all, don't dump all of yours right away. Yeah.
Right. No, if he turned around and sold Big Baller Brand to Nike or something like that, for 100 times revenue, then he's laughing. I just don't know that happened. All right. Do we trust the Astros? We're going to do a circle of trust in 2 days, almost 2 days from right now, with the players. But do fans trust what the Astros tell them about injuries? We have a poll on the latest Astro injury. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Seth, we're getting heat from our good friend and former work colleague, Garrett the Web Guy. Garrett the former Web Guy.
What did he do?
The Astros the Astros lost to his A's last night. They're not
Northern
the Oakland
California A's.
They're just the A's. Yeah, the A's. Yeah. They don't have a city. They're orphaned. I won't read the whole text, but he's disappointed in how little we've brought that up this morning so far. That the
that the A's were triumphant.
They beat
in
the Astros,
regular season.
Yeah.
Not really a home game for the A's, but still. Yeah,
just sort of a barnstorming. They're barnstorming for 81
games. The FEMA
games this
A's.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in their storm trailer.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
good job, FEMA A's.
Good job,
Walk
FEMA
off.
A's.
Good for you.
Is that good, Garrett? Are you happy with that? We brought it up, all right? Nick Kurtz's home run. We played it twice already on the show today. one more time, I'm going to throw
up. Good job scoring multiple runs in a baseball game.
Way to go.
Must be a great moment for you.
Boy, when your pitching staff held that Astros juggernaut offense to a run last night, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lance McCullers is on the 15-day IL with a right foot sprain. And my initial reaction yesterday when it was reported as breaking news on the drive, the Sterner and Hughley, they reported it sometime in the 2 o'clock hour. And when I heard Lance McCullers' name, I'm like, no, please, no. Please, not discomfort, not, no. And then they said Lance McCullers is going on the 15-day IL, retroactive to June 13th, with a right foot. And I'm like, not forearm, foot. And I'm like, oh,
yes.
My God.
Wait, IL.
Yeah, but is it right foot discomfort? No. It's actually a right foot sprain.
We got specificity in injury report.
Yeah, you like
that. I like that. That's a good sign. And it actually is. The fact that it's the 15-day IL, but it's retroactive, so he's eligible to come back, what, June
28th?
28th.
28th.
That's a big difference. 28th. Yeah. And the fact that they said sprain, I think that this might be a transparent report where likely it's just a grade one ankle sprain, just a mild ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Which slight stretching and some damage to the fibers of the ligament.
A spot that,
so there we go. Yeah. I believe this injury report.
You do. Okay.
The Astros are at a spot where sprain doesn't sound as bad as discomfort. So, yeah, they gave us some specificity.
Which is weird.
And they put him on the 15-day IL. The big question would be, all right, what if he wakes up and there's a bunch of swelling one day and it turns out that it was actually a grade 3 sprain and they didn't realize
or he broke his foot. That would be how it goes, because it's
That's
everything.
That's true, yeah.
Right? These things usually wind up with a broken bone of some sort. Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez. So, yeah, McCullers did not accompany the Astros to Sacramento. He was unavailable for comment, but Espada called the circumstance, quote, a freak accident, adding that McCullers, quote, kind of rolled his foot while working out. The sprain is above McCullers' big toe. So that's where the sprain is.
Wait, did they, above his big toe?
I'm just reading what's in the article.
Wait, what's the initial report?
It was a foot sprain. Yeah, it was a foot sprain.
Okay,
yeah,
I had in my head that it was an ankle sprain.
Yeah,
there'd
been no mention of the ankle.
So above the, it almost sounds like turf toe, like some kind of turf toe.
That would
I'd be nervous about it.
Yeah.
He said it's his right one?
Yeah, his right foot. Yeah, it's his plant foot.
So, yeah, so actually the, you know, pushing off the rubber and everything.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm a little bit more nervous about it.
Yep.
But, I'm not going to get overly nervous about
it. Didn't make the trip. Espada said, quote, we have some work set up for him at home, and we're going to see how he reacts to that. I love this. It's like a take-home test. Like, look, we're not going to be looking right over your shoulder. Here's the take-home test. But don't use your computer, okay?
I think he meant at home in Houston.
Yeah, I know.
Not like at his house.
The phrasing
just
sounded funny.
Where we got some work assigned for him, yeah. You realize that for a lot of things with toe injuries, you do these little exercises where you curl a towel up with your toe.
Oh, okay.
You strengthen it that way.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
So he could be doing that in front of the television while he's nursing his, not while he's feeding his baby a bottle.
Here's the quote that scares me the most from Joe Espada about this injury. Quote, we're hopeful it's not going to be longer than 2 weeks, end quote.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's more than we usually get out of the Astros.
It's more.
It's a new era. It's a new day.
Okay. All right. I hope so.
Chandler Rome had pointed out before the game that they had given the press like a little synopsis of everybody's injuries, and it was a little synopsis, but it's pretty long. And I thought at first Chandler might be being sarcastic when he said this is helpful, but I think he genuinely meant it, that appreciate them giving us some information on these injuries.
I think it's helpful. Okay, that it's Chandler Rome tweeting it out, and he's saying that it's helpful. I think shows that this is a story now. Like this is like Chandler. There should be stories done about the job that Joe Espada is doing right now with all these injuries.
In a good way.
Yeah. No, absolutely, in a good way. And we were bringing it up on the show yesterday morning before this McCullers injury. You know, thank God. Yeah, knock wood. Thank God nothing happened to Framber or Hunter, and Lance looks like he's progressing in the right direction. And then 6 hours later, the drive is talking about a Lance McCullers foot injury here. So, I think it is helpful because I think some stories need to be written about just how snake-bitten this team has been coming into a season where one of the themes I know was one of the things I'm almost certain we talked about was, well, it can't get any worse injury-wise than it did at the beginning of last season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? You're not mistaken in that. We 100% said at various times, well, it can't be as bad as it was last
year. It's worse. This is worse. This is worse than last season.
Give me okay, so I'm looking at the report that Chandler had cited from the Astros, the game report that they send out every day.
Yep.
Okay, scale of 1 to 10. We'll go the rapid fire. These are the injured players.
What's the 1 to 10? What am I rating this on?
There's a few updates on sidelined Astros. 10 is you're extremely happy about this. 1 is like, no, let's do apathy or non-apathy. 10 is like, oh, yes, this interests me and it's awesome.
Okay.
And 1 is I just flat out don't care.
Okay. Yep.
So how... Spencer Arrighetti is currently going through a flat ground throwing progression.
Okay, I'm 10 in terms of like I'm not apathetic towards it at all. Like
right,
they need
right.
Spencer Arrighetti back. Like how much does that report move me to feel like he's coming back anytime soon? Like a 4.
Okay, well, how can I interest you in JP France threw a live BP on Friday in Florida?
Okay, you're more hepped up about France than I am.
I'm hepped up about any breathing mammal with an arm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of JP Fran. Well, not. I mean, I'm sure he's a fine.
Rapid fire. Luis Garcia threw 25 pitches in a side session on Saturday.
4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christian Javier pitched last Wednesday in Florida, throwing 40 pitches in a side session.
I'll go 7 on that one. 40 Ooh. Pitches in a side session. That sounds pretty All good. Right. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. We got a package deal here.
Okay.
Jordan Alvarez and Zach DiCenzo stayed back in Houston to continue their rehab. They have not progressed to hitting yet.
Yeah. I'm like an 11 in terms of how I feel emotionally about it.
Yeah.
Like the absolute value of my emotions are like an 11 or 12, and it's mostly frustration and anger. My confidence in there. I thought it was 80. I thought he was 80%. I thought once he got to 70%, he was going to be able to pick up a bat, Jordan. I thought that's what I had heard.
Right. I thought when he was going up to 70%, he was going to be able to play.
Yeah.
I thought that the team that couldn't figure out whether he was 0% or 100% fractured was then telling me, hey, he's at 60%, but at 70%, he could play.
Yeah.
Somehow they were going to be able to figure out the difference in 10% after not being able to figure out the difference in 100%.
If I'm rating this on a scale of 1 to 10 and this new news mattering to me, like literally mattering to me. I don't wake me up when Jordan is standing in a batter's box against a hitter. That's how I feel about it. They've been so off on this thing, and it's a recurring thing. And it's -3 on a scale.
I cannot tell how happy I am that it turns out you're just as bad as I am at rapid fire stuff.
Well, I didn't know what you were looking for. No, but you were asking me about like how relevant I think it is, and I think these are all relevant.
A combination of relevance and optimism.
Yeah, those are two things.
I'm sorry I introduced a new axis to the graph, Sean.
Yeah.
All right, you got to think in three dimensions here.
I blame the asker in this one, all right?
Pedro Leon and Chaz McCormick, whatever.
Those are like a 0. That's a lot of guys. That's my biggest thing. That's a lot of dudes.
It's hard to go through that rapid fire.
That's a lot of dudes, man.
And that's not even everybody that's on the IL. Those are just kind of the ones they
mentioned. Holy crap. Yeah. If you could pick, you can pick one of those pitchers to come back at full strength. It can only be one.
So Spencer Arrighetti, JP France, Luis Garcia, and Christian Javier.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's a part of me that looks at Javier and I just think, okay, just if you can just use him selectively as a piggyback guy
starter,
in the playoffs and what have you.
Their bullpen's fine. You need a starter.
Yeah, Luis Garcia. Oh, no. Arrighetti, because I still believe in the upside of Arrighetti. I'm going to say Arrighetti.
Arrighetti's a good one. I'm going to roll the dice and push my chips to the middle of the table and feel like maybe Christian Javier turns into that 5-inning phenom that he was in 2022. People forget, man. Coming into 2023 off of 2022, Christian Javier was fairly high up the board for the odds board for the Cy Young Award in the American League. Like coming off of being part of a no-hitter in the postseason, being part of a no-hitter in the regular season, as you pointed out many times coming off of 2022, if he threw like 15 more innings or something like that, he would have been in the top 5 in almost every pitching metric out there, ERA, whip, strikeouts, all this stuff. 2022 Christian Javier was elite, all caps, elite. I'll go Javier. I'll go Javier on the hopes that he can give you five to six every time out.
Javier's ERA in the playoffs, 2.68 in his career.
That's in his career. In his career. Yeah, I mean, and in 2022, it had to be even better in just in that year of 2022. I mean, he was amazing that season. Starting at about as soon as they put him into the rotation full time, like in June or July, he was freaking incredible that year.
In 2022 in the playoffs, he didn't have a great he didn't have a good inning in a third versus Seattle. That was the only but then he went 5 1/3 and six. That was the extra innings game in Seattle, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
He had the two games. He had the two games, one versus the Yankees and one versus Philadelphia.
Yeah.
One of those obviously being the committee no-hitter.
The no-hitter, and I'm assuming he won the Yankees game because they swept that series. So, yeah, I'll go 2022 Javier, man, with the Invisiball. I want the Invisiball back in my life, Seth. That's what I want.
I completely forgot about the Invisiball.
Yeah. Hopefully it still works. All right,
Peyton. It's not like in the movies when you start to lose your powers and the Invisible Man is like, what the hell is that guy in the corner of the ladies' shower? Big creep? Yeah.
All right, the Rockets are in talks about getting Kevin Durant. He is still elite. Hopefully Kevin Durant doesn't follow in the footsteps of some of these formerly elite athletes that all of a sudden lost their mojo. Who are the biggest ones in Houston history that would fit that bill? I've got a name right here in front of me. We'll do that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm just thinking about a Kevin Durant trade, Seth, during the break. I think my biggest concern in making a deal for Kevin Durant isn't what the Rockets give up to get him, because I don't think I think Raphael Stone has a pretty good grasp on what the value of Kevin Durant is in terms of players and draft picks. And I think I think they feel about certain guy, like Amen Thompson is a guy, like I don't want anybody touching him. Like if his name comes up on the call, hang up. And I think they feel similarly about him. My biggest concern as I look at the calculus of all this is that contract extension for Durant is at age 36 or 37 when the season rolls around. He'll be 37 at some point this season. That you're tacking on another 2 years potentially for over $100 million really starts to choke you up a little bit, because you are going to have to pay Amen Thompson here fairly soon. And he may be the first guy out of these young guys to get a max deal. Like Şengün and Jalen Green both got big deals, but they weren't max level deals. Amen Thompson, you got to figure out what's going on with Jabari Smith and Tari Eason. Now, one or more of those guys may end up becoming Phoenix Suns in this sequence of events. That's the biggest thing for me. Like, my biggest fear in all this is that it's a multi-year thing with Durant. It's $50+ million a year. And now in like the second year, Father Time comes knocking on the door for Kevin Durant and says, now this is the season where you're averaging 16 a game, not 26 a game.
I think with Durant, his game has obviously aged well already, and I think it'll continue to age well, and he'll probably still be very, very productive. The big question would just be, do the injuries start to mount up as you get older? Just as it was with Kobe in his later years, he was still an effective player, but he just was injured all the time. That's the biggest wild card of all of that. It doesn't scare me from a performance standpoint. It scares me that all of a sudden he might only be available for 40 or 50 games a year.
Yeah.
And it's he's been relatively in the last 2 years, he played 75 games and 62 games in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
The previous couple of years he had played in the 40s. So were these last couple of years a fluke? Or was it more than I would tend to think that no, that when he missed serious time in a couple seasons when he's in his mid-30s, that he's going to get some injuries when he's 37, 38, 39 years old.
62 is not a lot either. Like, you miss, that's 20 games you're missing. That's a lot of games to miss. It's enough games to miss where you're not eligible for any of the awards in the regular season. You know, you got to play 65 games. So
he played, let's see, he's played In 2021-22, he played 55 games.
Okay.
2022-23, he played 47 games.
Yeah.
And then last year, he played 75 games. So, it's actually worse than I had laid it out originally.
Yeah.
So, it's 55, 47, and 75.
Okay. Well, I know he played 62 this past season.
And then 62 this year. Sorry, the three prior to that.
Yeah. So, that's not good. That's not good. And yet, when he's on the floor, he does things better than literally everybody in the league. There's nobody better shooting jumpers. There's nobody better shooting off the dribble. There's no player in the history of the league that has averaged over 25 points a game, 50% shooting, and 40% three-point shooting 3 years in a row. Nobody's ever done that before. When he's on the floor, he's impactful.
Let's do it from your gut check. How did you feel about all of the years that Justin Verlander was under contract, but just doing his rehab off in Chicago or something?
I was fine because they had won a championship with him. I saw somebody making that comparison, Verlander to Durant. Like, this is the finishing touches. You got a young team that you signed a few veteran guys before the year, you know, like they did with Brian McCann and with Josh Reddick and Beltran, and then Verlander was the finishing touch. You got Van Vliet, you got Dylan Brooks, you got Steven Adams. Now Durant's the finishing touch. My feelings on Verlander sitting there with all the injuries and whatnot, it sucked because I like watching Verlander pitch, but I didn't feel like, oh, they're not getting their money's worth or this cripples the team. I mean, those Astros teams were so deep and full of talent, especially pitching-wise. I probably feel a little differently about that than I would about Durant. You're bringing in Durant to be the alpha on your offense. Make no mistake about that. So I would.
The age scares me more than anything. I don't worry about personality fit. I don't worry about the actual. I mean, he's going to improve the offense.
Yeah.
There's not a question about it. It's just. And if he didn't want a new contract, I would be way more gung-ho about it.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I'm in Rafael Stone's position where. Yeah. Yes, of course, it's a good thing to have Kevin Durant on your basketball team, but I'm only willing to give up so much because I'm going to have to sacrifice something in the future. I'm going to have to sacrifice something now, but players that are more affordable and that are younger and still developing, I'm not willing to give up anything and everything to go get him, even though it makes sense. It's dumb to bring in a guy that likely at the age of 37 this year, then 38 and 39, is probably going to miss a huge chunk of at least one of those
history
seasons.
Says he will. History yeah. says he will. It's funny, on Instagram, somebody put up a graphic. It's more NFL-based than NBA-based, but the analogy is an NBA analogy. And they ask, which is each NFL team's most Celtics Shaq player ever? In other words, the guy, like the version of Shaq that was on the Celtics was just completely broken down and, the expiration date. Like, oh, I should have checked the expiration date on this Shaq. The one for the Texans, I think, is a pretty easy one. I think if we had Texan fans in the room, they'd all scream this name. Who's the most Celtics Shaq player ever? Ed Reed.
100%.
Ed Reed.
Yep. And he went on. But the most annoying thing about that was that he went on. And he ended up back with, was it with the Jets?
The Jets.
Again?
It was the Jets.
The Jets, and was playing reasonably well, playing way better than he did in Houston.
Yeah.
I wish if Houston had been his final chapter, then people would bring that up more. But he actually salvaged something when he went one more year.
Go play for his guy Rex, man. He went to go play for the Jets. I feel sad.
Yeah, better scheme fit. Yeah,
I feel sad looking at this graphic because Andre Johnson is this for the Colts. Mm-hmm. I think probably more appropriate of you is that for the Titans. You know,
because he finished with the Titans.
Finished with the Titans. Yeah.
Remember when he went to the Colts? It was after he'd had a conversation with Bill O'Brien, where Bill O'Brien said something to the effect of like, you know, we envision, you know, maybe 40 receptions or so for you this year, and they didn't see eye to eye on all that. And then Andre went off to the Colts and got 41 receptions.
Yeah. I hate that he made Bill O'Brien look right on that. That bothers me. To this day, it still bothers me.
And that was a classic. It's the smart thing as an organization to say goodbye to players before it's too late. That was a move where on paper, I think it was the right thing to do. I think if Bill O'Brien had a different personality or what have you, it might have gone differently and it might have maybe been more congenial. But it was probably, I mean, it you know, Andre wasn't the same player he used to be. He was 34 years old at that point, and that was the last couple of years of his career.
Has he ever been asked if he was asked to take a pay cut that year? Has that ever been revealed, or was it an all or nothing thing with O'Brien?
I want to say it was one of those things where, I don't want to say without it. Tells me that it wasn't some kind of conversation where maybe they would have tweaked the contract.
Yeah.
And didn't want to, but
I don't want to speak for Andre. I feel like that's one of the, he feels like a guy that if offered the opportunity to finish his career as a Texan, he might have wanted to do that. Regardless, he made a lot of money at that point, that kind of thing. I'm just curious if that's ever been addressed. Some of the other names on here.
Well, but that's the other part of it too, is that if maybe Bill O'Brien had a different type of personality, maybe Andre would have felt differently about
that. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. DeAndre said that he'd never actually formed a relationship with Bill O'Brien. Now, that's his side of the story. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah. But like that part of it, sometimes it's easier to smooth things over like that when it's when you've got a certain personality.
Yeah. Some of the ones on here, I don't even remember. On this, these are the NFL, each NFL team's most Celtics Shaq player ever. Ty Law on the Broncos, no recollection. Warren Moon on the Chiefs, zero recollection of that. Chris Carter on the Dolphins. Herschel Walker on the Giants, zero memory of that.
I mean, I'm guessing
the fans of all those teams have memory of it.
When was he with the Giants?
At the end of his career.
Yeah, I guess so. Because I think Herschel Walker, he ended up back with the Cowboys for a little bit.
Did
too,
he?
Right?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'll look it up. But yeah,
the weirdest one for me was Jerry Rice with the Seahawks. Partly because the Seahawks had only recently moved to the NFC, so everything about it felt weird.
Everything was
wrong.
Up in the air. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giants. Yeah, dude. Herschel Walker went back to the Cowboys for two seasons after being with the Giants.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The Cowboys were his final two seasons.
Yeah. 1996 and 1997.
I was trying. I had to.
He went ring chasing.
I couldn't. I wanted to be sure I was remembering correctly.
Yeah.
I saw Herschel Walker on the football field in 1997, my rookie year.
Rookie year, yeah.
At the age of 35, he was returning kicks, and at the age of 35, I remember watching him and thinking, "That's not how human beings move. What the hell?"
It still applies to this day.
Why is he that big, moving that fast?
Yeah.
He's listed. This is the craziest thing. In his last year in Dallas, he's listed as a fullback. On Pro Football Reference.
Yeah. Emmitt Smith kind of taking up all the carries there at tailback.
Other guy I got to play against my rookie year was Marcus Allen.
Oh, yeah. Was he on the Chiefs at that point?
He was on the Chiefs as a short yardage specialist.
Oh,
and
yeah?
It sucked because he was really good at that. He screwed up the whole rhythm of a play. You'd think he had a good down going, but then all of a sudden you're like, hey, why is he at the line of scrimmage already?
Yeah.
I was thinking like, oh, I'm going to lock out this offensive lineman and throw him. But like Marcus Allen was already gone.
Fantasy beast, those guys,
some of those older guys, it's just they ain't as good as they once was, but they're as good once as they ever was.
Yeah.
Like that's in those short yardage moments or as a kick returner.
He was great. He was great. Both of them. All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. New mindset on the offensive line. Titus Howard talked about this. Do we see a new Titus Howard in 2025? That's coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.